Hats off though to Conor Benn, who stepped up in fight number 17.
All right, we're back. Matchroom Radio with David Diamante is coming to you from Stratford, London, ahead of a huge night of boxing on Saturday. We're going to be at the Copper Box this Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to these fights. Yesterday, there was some fire in the booth. We had Shannon Courtney and Ebony Bridges. They both had their turn to talk about Saturday's WBA World Bantamweight title fight. And today, we're joined by Saturday's main event fighter, Conor the Destroyer Benn. Conor, great to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
You look really fit, man.
I am. I'm feeling strong. You're constantly evolving, aren't you? You're constantly growing and changing, especially at the age I'm at. You sort of just start to feel unstoppable, man.
You also really seem to be evolving. So you feel like that physically too. You feel like you're getting stronger.
100%. I mean, again, I've beat my PBs from last camp by quite a lot, big margin. You know, from my strength and conditioning, how am I doing? I'm sparring 15 rounds with 3 middleweights. 15 rounds, never done that before, and was flying. So when you're talking levels of growth, and it's happening.
Yeah, I see it. And it'll be interesting to see if we see it Saturday night. Let's talk about a little bit, we're here in the bubble, obviously, and you're back in the bubble because November you had the win over Formella. It was a really great display. It was like a landslide victory on points. And you showed like another side to your game.
I think that's what it's about. I mean, there's so much more left to answer. There's so much more left to prove. And I demonstrated different. I plan on demonstrating different techniques, different qualities that I have that have been hidden that you guys haven't seen before. And that's what I'm going to do this Saturday night. But Formella was supposed to be a tough opponent. What did you say to me before I went into the ring?
Do
not take this guy lightly. But I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do. Do you know what I mean? I do it in the sparring. I do it too many times on a regular basis for me to do it off on an off night. Even on an off night, I should be able to do what I do in the spar still. Do you know what I mean? And he was supposed to be a really hard test. And I'd done what I had to do to beat him. I said, if I weren't going to stop him, I'd give him a beat him over the 10. And that was exactly what I'd done. Who thought I'd outbox a boxer? You wouldn't think that 3 fights ago, would you? And now I'll outfight a fighter this time round.
Definitely not. And it was impressive. So you're training with Tony Sims. I assume you've got quite a lot of monsters you're training with. There's a lot of tough guys in that camp. Are you bringing in other sparring? How are you getting these new wrinkles? Is it stuff that Tony's introducing? Is it stuff that you see that you want to introduce? How does that kind of happen?
Am I wrinkly?
No. No, the wrinkles to your game.
Oh, okay. Sorry, man. I was a little bit confused. I was like, you really stressing me out that much, Tom?
No, not yet. No, man. Too young for that.
We're just constantly working. But what Tony has this way of teaching me, he don't over flood me, he doesn't drown me with knowledge or wisdom. He drip feeds me, and then as I start to pull it off, okay, we got that this camp, now let's work on something else another camp, let's work on this camp, and then before you know it, I'm pulling things out of the bag that I learned from 3 years ago that I completely forgot about, that I didn't do once in the camp, but yet I knocked the guy out with in the fight.
You start putting things together.
Not intentionally. They just start to fall into place.
Sure.
But that's because I apply myself 100% and I trust Tony, and the way his teaching methods obviously clearly work. I mean, the great thing about working with Tony was I come in raw. So people, if you want to look at Tony as a trainer and what he's done, you really look at my career.
You're the piece of clay.
Yeah, you really look at my career, because when you have other fighters come from big amateur pedigrees, you know how good they're going to be.
Right.
You know how good. There was nothing there. Do you know what I mean? There was nothing there with me. You know, if anything, there was bad habits he had to get out of me for a year, 2 years before we could start to then build on other stuff. Do you know what I mean? So when you're looking at Tony as a trainer, you look at my career, and then that's credit to Tony. Do you know what I mean?
I really like this matchup with Sammy Vargas. The fact that you're saying, you didn't have a big amateur career. Neither did Sammy. But in the pros, he's just faced like murderer's row. Spence, Garcia, Khan, Collazo, Funeka, some really tough guys.
Ortiz.
And then, Virgil and then Ortiz. Next? Conor Benn.
That's right. So, I want my name up there. And I plan on putting in on a great performance. If we go anywhere based on the way my sparring's gone and how I've been sparring with these big guys, you know, you lot are in for a treat and you lot are in for a shock. Because, you know, the same way you lot is talking of all this about Formella and he got a beating at his game, I'll beat him at his game again. Yeah, I'll show levels.
Do you like fighting in these bubbles? Do you like these bubbles on fight week? I mean, some fighters enjoy them. I mean, they think it's less distracting, but I guess, you know, you're kind of literally cooped up. I mean, you can't really go for a walk when you're in the bubble. How do you feel about that?
I don't mind, man. It's quite, it's a moment for you to sit down, reflect, focus, and focus on the task at hand without the outside distractions from the world. I mean, don't get me wrong, I miss my family, as in my wife and my son, but I'm with them in a couple of days. I've just got business to take care of. Let me take care of my business and then I'm with you guys, all right? I'll just, that's all I got to do. Give me till Saturday and, you know, we're sitting good.
Sammy Vargas is a name that you mentioned a while ago. And you guys both fought on the same card when he fought Amir Khan in Birmingham. I'm sure we all remember that fight well. And you said you even exchanged messages on social media. I just saw when you guys met for the first time right out here. It was very respectful. I think you guys both respect each other. But like I said, his resume has some big names. This is his 40th fight. He's still only 31. What do you make of him as a fighter, and what are you expecting from him on Saturday?
I don't know. All I do know is he's going to bring the heat. It would be easy for him to overlook me based on the people he's been with. So when you guys are talking to me about me overlooking him, really it should be the other way around. But then when you're talking about Tess, every time I've stepped up to the plate, I've passed with flying colours. What's happened when he stepped up to the plate? So people, it's funny how you can put a spin on things and, you know, give everyone a completely different perception of the fight based on, you know, what Eddie's saying, what you're saying. Because really, who should be overlooking who? Because you guys are talking to me like I shouldn't be overlooking him. When really, who's the one who's fouled every time they stepped up to the plate? Not me.
I love looking at a fight and saying like, all right, Connor's got this, Sammy's got this, and kind of looking at these different columns. And you guys do both have different stuff. I mean, I think you're probably more athletic for sure.
Probably.
You know, you're younger.
What else is there? Let's talk about speed.
Maybe speed.
Let's talk about explosiveness.
Right.
Let's talk about ferocity. Okay, let's give him experience.
Goes
a long way, don't get me wrong, because experience is so important.
Well, especially at the pro level. Especially at the pro level, and especially against that level of opponent. And a lot of those guys.
Did Formella's experience help him? When you're matching the ferociousness, the ambition, the drive, the hunger, you know, the sacrifice. You know, all of them sacrifices, all of them. You know, I think outweigh Formella's experience. Koivula, who went points with Vargas, three-time European challenger. Step up. What happened to him and his experience? Rough me up the first round. Second round, what? You want to take it there? Okay, then. I'll stand my ground in the middle of the ring. And that's exactly what I've done. Knocked him out. Probably one of my greatest knockouts. First headline show. So, yeah, experience does matter. But we work really hard, me and my trainer. And, you know, my experience doesn't come from me. It comes from my team. And my team are a very experienced team, one of the best teams in the United Kingdom, one of the best teams in the world.
Formella, then Vargas. These are two solid back-to-back opponents. There's only one way to go from there. Is that how you see it?
Of course there is. If we're talking about me getting to the level where me and my team plan on me getting to, I should have no problem with this fight. It should be, don't get me wrong, maybe sticky moments. There may be, there might not be. Might be one of my easiest nights work. Maybe not, maybe it's my hardest night's work. I doubt anything's gonna top me getting off the deck twice in the first round and having to slug it out hard. I doubt it's gonna be as bad as that, because every fight I have now I compare to that fight. But really no fight's ever, if that was the level of how hard I'm gonna base all my other fights, all of them have been relatively easy in comparison, mate. And that one night was just because I overlooked an opponent. I just overlooked him. I had my holiday booked. I was eating Dunkin' Donuts in every street corner out in New York because I was a young kid and thought, yeah, I was out partying in New York, celebrating. I mean, I just fought in New York. And then he's gone, oh, yeah, do you want to fight?
That, yeah. That was a fight I announced, right?
Yeah. And then it was like, well, yeah, all right, I'll come back. I had 3-day Reebok media requirement. I was about a stone and a half overweight. I thought, yeah, I'll knock this geezer out. I've just knocked 4 out on the trot of undefeated records. oh, I'll deal with him, no problem. And then there you go. But I'm glad I learned that then, because maybe I would have been overlooking Vargas for the likes of Khans, for the likes of, but I know now not to do that. Again, experience, it does go a long way, and I plan on taking all that experience from Vargas and pushing on.
100% what you're saying. Let's talk a little bit about your camp. It seems that we've seen different images online. You've been on numerous runs now with a 13-year-old. He's a running sensation, a national cross-country runner named Bo McDonald. How did you guys link up, and how does he spur you on?
Yeah. So what it is I met him via Dan Lawrence, who's my strength and conditioning coach. I met him at the gym. He was a really nice kid. He applies himself 100% to the sport. He's a very dedicated young man. And it's sort of, it does inspire me. Because I weren't like that at 13. And when I thought, if I was like that at 13, how good would I be now? So I just think, do you know what? Really encourage him. Because it's all about the younger generation coming through. If he can apply himself, it'll be so far ahead of everyone else. He'll be flying. I mean, I struggle to keep up with the runs with him. He's that good at running. He's enough for not. And I'm a great runner. I'm a very good runner. And he pushes me.
How far do you guys usually run?
So, depending on what sort of run is it a slow fat burner? Depends on the heart rate zone. Is it a quick 5 mile? I mean, the quickest we've done 5 mile was 31 minutes, which is quick. Do you know what I mean? And that was me trying to keep up with him. And then obviously I've done my running at mad times at like 5 a.m. I've been up at 5 a.m. this camps, getting up, driving to Southend for 5:30, and then doing my, 5 mile runs, 6 mile, 7 mile runs, depending on how I'm feeling, really. Depends on how quick. But he gets up and does these runs with me before he goes to school. What a bit of fresh air. How nice is that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
The talk's nice as well. No, like, he's a nice kid.
What do you guys talk about? What's he?
He calls himself B2 Drippy the Sauce and all that. And, and I'm running and I'm laughing and I'm
B2
just,
Drippy the Sauce.
Yeah, he calls himself Bo McDonald the Sauce.
Like a Coley?
Sounds like a Coley, yeah.
BM the Sauce, that's what his name is on the streets and all that. Do you know what I mean? But it's just refreshing. It makes you laugh. It makes me laugh and think, it's just nice. Do you know what I mean? It's just refreshing to hear when you're doing your runs in the morning.
Sure. We found out a Coley's favorite sauce is ketchup.
What's mine?
Yeah, what is yours?
Favorite sauce, core. Oh, I love a bit of sauce and all. I do love a bit of sauce. Probably like a truffle sauce.
There you go.
Put on some like lobster thermidor.
There you go. Taking a little highbrow.
God, I'm starving.
How much time did you have off in between camps?
I went to Dubai. Obviously, my missus was heavily pregnant, so you can say it was a baby moon. We ended up extending for 2 weeks, obviously, with this whole pandemic going on as well. We didn't know what was happening. But I was still training out in Dubai. And then 1st of January, really, I was back in action and ready to go for the training camp. 1st of January, I was training. I was doing my runs. I was doing my strength and conditioning, knowing that that'll leave me in good stead to ready when camp really kicks off.
Yeah. I mean, how important do you think rest is for a fighter?
Depending on what sort of rest. I mean, you need rest. Rest is just as important as the training, like, go without saying. But sometimes life happens. You there's some things in life that can mentally fatigue you, certain situations that life presents, you go, I just need a break. I need to break. Do you know what I mean? And I need a few days off just to recalibrate and go again.
We talked to Vadim Kornilov. He's the manager to light heavyweight world champion Dmitry Bivol last week when we were in Uzbekistan. He said that the time Bivol has had off in the past 12 months, he thinks it's going to stand him in really good stead for his next few years. Do you think that could help him?
Definitely. I mean, everyone's different. The time I have had off, I've always come back better from it. Do you know what I mean? That could be down to the life I live. It could be to the way I train. I mean, I train in such intensity. I train with such ferocity that maybe you don't need the break. I don't plod in my training. I don't just plod along. I give 100%. I run myself into the ground. And then I go, I need a few days off here. Or Tony would go, Con, no, you need a few days off here. We'll have 3-4 days off. And then you feel like, oh, am I ready? Oh. But then you come back and you're like, boom, I feel brand new. Your rest is so important.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as overtraining. It's just a lack of rest.
It sounds like the way you fight, man. You go in there and just, you give it your all.
I do that in everything I do.
Never in a boring fight, man. Never in a boring fight. It really feels though. It's really been like a pretty much whirlwind last couple of years. You just became a father to baby Eli, and I don't know. I'm really curious on to how that has changed your mindset. And you said something the other day. We were talking in the hallway. I love what you said because you were talking about how like. You know, people say when the baby comes, you're just going to immediately fall. And you were like, it was a little strange. It was kind of, wait, I want you to tell the listeners.
Well, Victoria went into labor. She was in labor for 3 days. So that was like just hard work in itself. So when the baby arrived, there was like just a lot of doctors and nurses coming in. And it wasn't that moment of, you know, like Simba. You know, he's like, it wasn't one of them moments. It was just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
the rays come through the window.
Yeah, yeah, no, it weren't none of that. Nothing like that. Nothing glamorous about it whatsoever. I mean, he come out and he had a frown at me. Nothing. You know what you just put us through, son? Yeah, he come out of a frown on him. And I was like, yeah, I definitely know you're my son. But then it was.
But wait, you said to me, you were like, yeah, it looked like an alien. You said
it looked like a little alien.
Yeah.
So there was no, it wasn't like, oh, how cute. It right. looked like a little alien. And right. then obviously about 3 weeks later, it started to
really take shape and
form. Massively. Like it just changes. Your love sort of grows by the day, by the minute even. And for me, it was about the 3 week mark where I was like, okay, you know, I'm his dad. You're my son. I'm a, you know, like that sort of, oh, wow. And then as he starts to look at you and starts to smile at you and think, I'm responsible for your life. It is my job to do the best I can for you. In everything I choose to do, you're my son. You know, what sort of person am I? And that's how it's motivated me and changed me. It hasn't given me more career drive. It hasn't given me more ambition, more desire. It hasn't done none of that for me. Like none whatsoever. Because either way, forget boxing for a minute. Anything else I would have, choose to have done, whether it's gym owner, whether it's this, whether it's that, I would have been successful at either way because the same way I apply myself to the training would have been the same way I apply myself to whatever it is I choose to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, so definitely. Positive mindset.
Yeah, so it's forget the career, whatever it is I would have been successful at because of my own drive, my own ambition, my own goals. Do you know what I mean? I obviously would have filled it down to my son, but what having my son here is... help me in is who I am as a man. What do I stand for? What do I represent? What sort of role model am I? Am I quick to anger, slow to speak? Or am I slow to anger, quick to listen? You know, these sort of questions. And these are the sort of questions I ask myself. What sort of guy am I outside of boxing? Do you know what I mean? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
1,000%.
And I like to think that, you know, I'm a good man. Do you know what I mean? A man with good morals, good foundation, a man of faith. You know, a good husband, try to be a good, et cetera, good grandson, good. So those are the things I think of more so rather than career motive or career. He ain't the reason I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to run. That ain't the reason.
Yeah. I mean, like you just said, also you were talking about your wife and you're also a new husband. It really seems like a new chapter in your life.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's such a blessing because out of all my siblings, I'm the first. I was not supposed to be the first. I'm telling you now. If I've told my dad 5-6 years ago and I've gone to him, Dad, I'm going to be the first one to get married, have a kid and have a home.
They wouldn't
have
believed it.
He'd be like, nah, mate, what are you smoking? That's what my dad would have said to me. So for me to be, you know, happily married and having a son and, you know, designing our home to the spec we want it and giving my wife that luxury of designing it all, I didn't know I could have that opportunity or be where I am at such a young age.
Speaking of your dad, you know, with him on the other side of the world, do you feel like it's made you grow up quicker? Like you've had to adapt and kind of take the lead on your own life?
Of course, not in a nice way either. Because it's not nice. Because the real world ain't nice. It ain't a nice place. Again, down to perspective. Can't say the industry or the fame. Because then there's nothing nice about any of them. Nothing nice about any of them. Do you know what I mean? The expectation, the criticism, the fame, it ain't nice. I didn't want the fame necessarily. Now I sort of regret. I'd rather be rich than famous. But then on the other hand, people think this fame is something that It's not good.
Because why? Tell the people why.
Because you can't be human.
How so?
Because you can't be human. You can't make a mistake. For some reason, I've got to be perfect all the time. I can't say the wrong thing. I have a bad night. Oh, it's the end of the world. My career's on the line. I don't do, you know, there's always that so much expectation. And it's like sometimes I feel like saying, listen, yo, dude, I'm human, you know. I have feelings, you know. It hurts me, you know. And you know, but it don't seem that way for everyone else. Because to me, I'm just boom. I'm just there. No emotions. I'm just that guy. Do you know what I'm saying?
But you're a human being.
I'm a human being with feelings and emotions and, you know, the same emotions every other human has. I've just got to deal with him. I've just got to really got to grow thick skin. And sometimes that ain't always a good thing.
Speaking of fame and famous fathers, we saw young Campbell Hatton make his pro debut just a couple weeks back in Gibraltar. There's obvious comparisons to you both. Do you have any words of wisdom that you could share with Campbell, if he's listening, to help him kind of set his own path and come out of his dad's shadow, so to speak?
It will be hard at first. Again, I've done this without my family. He has his family here, which is going to be a massive help. But then he'll then even question his family's advice because they may be blinded by love. In his opinion, he would go, well, you guys love me, so of course you're going to say that to me. Do you know what I mean? But you need to just focus on yourself, man. Forget everyone. They really do not matter. They do not matter. And, you know, I know Ricky ain't cared a lot about what the people and the fans thought of him. That's what made him the great fighter he is. But you didn't have social media back then like you do now. So it's easy for someone to quickly comment. And I've seen the comments that Campbell's been getting on his debut. And if I talk about anything that makes me really angry and really not like people and not have time for anybody, is when I go on Twitter and see that. Like, I could F and blind about these people. I could cuss these people and I'm not that guy. Do you know what I mean? If I saw someone who wrote something in comments, I'll grab him by the scruff of the neck and tell him, listen, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Set him straight.
Yeah, just let him know, listen, this kid's trying. Do you know how hard it is? Do you know how hard it is to do what you're doing? It's such a hard sport. Let alone have all the criticism at such a young age that make you question your ability, question your, you know, your direction. You think you're going to be, you know, the next bomb, and then they sort of pop all your dreams. But then when you sort of focus on bettering yourself, you will get better. You will succeed. You will grow. You will learn. Just focus on you, your family, what they say. Don't worry about anybody else, because at the end of the day, you don't listen to the praise when you're winning and you don't listen to the negative when you're losing. You just focus on doing you. When you're up, don't listen to no one. When you're down, don't listen to no one. Just focus on doing what you've got to do and you'll reach the end goal.
I tell people all the time, man, you got to have thick skin to be in the game.
Yeah, 100%. That goes without saying. It's changed me. It's molded me, this sport, into a man who's able to sort of take anything thrown at me.
All right. So we're getting the looks from the producer. We got to let you go. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to end this segment with what we call rapid fire. All right. You ready for that?
Let's go.
Okay. What is your favorite cheat meal?
In camp or out of camp?
Whenever. Both. Either.
Out of camp. Nice curry, nice Indian.
Oh, Ruby.
I love a Ruby Murray, mate.
Oh.
Like, that's what I'm having straight after the fight. So my cousin lives literally about a 3-minute walk from here.
Yeah.
I've got all the Indian ordered already. Homemade, all cooked.
I had one last night.
You can't be telling me this.
I know. I'm going to shout out this restaurant because I'm just a fan of them. Dishoom, I really like them.
Dishoom's
sorry.
The gaff, mate.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Sorry.
How'd you order that?
I had a Deliveroo to the hotel.
Oh, Dishoom, mate.
Yeah, it was
that
really good.
The spot, mate. How'd you know about that spot?
Come on, man.
Oh, that is Come the on. Spot, mate. Come Go on. On.
Okay, second. Who wins, Spence or Crawford?
Crawford.
Okay. 5-round grueling war or 12-round masterclass performance?
Both end up with a win.
Sure.
I'll definitely grueling war because, you know.
That's you.
Yeah, but then I'm in an amount.
You're in and you're out.
I'm not here for.
You don't get paid for overtime.
I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
There you go.
Get me in, get me out. Now I can enjoy my food quicker.
Let's get to that. Ruby Murray. All right. This one, I think I know what you're going to say, but Sydney or London?
Yeah, Sydney.
There you go. Biggest gym rat down in Tony's gym. It could be you if it's you.
I don't know. We all train very hard.
I know. You guys are. It's true. That's true.
I actually can't say. We're always training.
Yeah.
All of us.
You know, I'm going to give you a pass on that because it's true.
It's so true, mate.
You can shout out your teammates if you want.
Yeah, we've got Felix Cash, John Ryder, Ched Cheeseman.
I mean, monsters.
Ryan Wall.
Yeah.
John Ryder, yeah. Jimmy Sainz, Craig Richards.
Yeah.
I mean,
Spider, he's got a big fight coming up.
Who else
too.
Have we got? I ain't missed anyone, have I?
I think that's it.
Everybody.
Ted's 2-time British champion.
Yeah.
Felix Cash fighting for the British title, but he's Commonwealth champion.
By the way, can we just shout out Ted's fight the other day?
Ted, he's a proper fighter. And also, he gives it all in there, doesn't he?
Oh, he's a throwback. And JJ Metcalf, man, he gave it all too. That was a hell of a fight.
Ted gives you value for money every single time.
So do you, though. So do you.
Do you know what I think that is? I think that's Tony's style. Tony loves
it. And Felix Cash too.
Felix Cash can fight as well.
Craig Richards.
We're all young fighters.
Yep.
That just are so like want to fight. But Tony's got this way of working us. And you know, if you can't keep up, you're out.
Joe Cordina.
Welsh wizard. Yeah, we just had Tony and Joe in here the other day.
Masterclass.
Yeah.
He really is a wizard, isn't he? He's incredible. Inspiring. He's hit me with some shots. I'm thinking, where they come from?
That jab is a
wand. Did you get the old wonder? I've been hit with some good shots by him, you know.
Absolutely. All right, let's do the last question. The favorite of your dad's fight. And for anyone that's not listening, your father is the legend Nigel Benn.
Favorite fight? Oh, mate.
I'm sure you've watched them all.
I've watched them all.
Doug DeWitt, McClellan.
I was going to say McClellan.
Iran Barkley.
Obviously the...
Barkley?
Yeah, but you see this McClellan fight. I didn't understand the depth of it until I then went through the Paynard fight.
Sure.
I didn't understand because, I mean, that's different level. Do you know what I mean? My dad was up against it hard then.
Knocked him out in round 10.
I mean, that's incredible for him to do what he'd done.
In '95.
No one gave him a chance. That's what I'm saying. And obviously you got the Iron Barclays, the Doug DeWitts, the
Piper.
Chris Eubanks, Nicky Piper. But I mean, the Iron Barclay, Doug DeWitt, McClellan.
It's all great.
Now those.
It's all great.
Those are like.
Those are the ones?
Yeah, those sums my dad's career up. Definitely. You know, there's some fights then.
Listen. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. It's always great seeing you. Wish you the best luck on Saturday. And Godspeed, brother.
Thank you.
And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the exclusive for our show today. And that is that Shannon Courtney and Emity Bridges are filming face-to-face with Adam Smith. And it's going to air tomorrow after the weigh-ins on Friday. So look out for that. So anyway, that's our wrap for today. This is Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. And we'll catch you again tomorrow.